Steve Bozell.
Yes, sir.
We're going to be seeing you in the galaxy of Phil Hendry, right?
Yes. I've agreed to appear, and I'm looking forward to it. I just hope that it is an experience where I'm not held up to ridicule.
No, I have no intention doing that.
Okay.
I mean, you state your story. That's the way we do the galaxy of Phil Hendry, bring you out. And you tell us the story, because you had said to me, I went to Paris, you know, in 1999.
Yeah, I know you did, and that's why when April suggested that we go.
You look like, forgive me, but you look like you're going to cry.
Well, you know, it's kind of emotional from a standpoint of when I got in a cab and I saw it and I went, you know, I had a heart, I better not say.
No, why don't you begin at the beginning here?
Okay, so I had an ED problem.
Erectile dysfunction.
Yeah. And I know you'd been to Paris. You said it, you enjoyed it. And April had suggested this because it had been a very rough spring for me.
You had ED at the time?
Yeah. I mean, I got it when a minor bird, you know the story, the minor bird giving me a, can I say shit or?
Go ahead.
Yeah, my minor bird gave me a load of shit.
That was, what's his name's minor bird?
Yeah, Roy Hutchins.
Yeah.
And I walked into Minor Birds telling me to go to hell and everything. I'm thinking, a bird's telling this to me? I'm Steve Bozell. I own a business. So I turned around, and as I walked out, there was a cat looking at me. But
you're going to be telling a lot of this on the show?
I'm going to, yeah, but I just want to vet it with you.
Okay.
So it'd been tough. And so anyway, April says, let's go to Paris. We go to Paris. I got to spit this out real fast. We go to Paris, we get in the cab, we're driving in the cab, I look and I see the Eiffel Tower, and immediately the erection I had went away.
And now, why is that?
Because I was looking forward to going to the hotel with the erection that I did then have there.
You had an erection in the cab.
I mean, I had it. You know, I got it while I was thinking about my wife, and she's sitting next to me looking good. You've seen April.
She's gorgeous.
Yeah. And, well, I said I'm not trying to get you to have a hard on or anything.
No, I don't. Trust me, Steve. I'm just being polite here.
But you really do think she's pretty?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. God. Anyway, I'm in the cab. I'm thinking this is going to be great. I got a hard on all the way. And then I see the Eiffel Tower, and I go, well, wait a minute. She said she wanted to go to Paris.
The whole thing here is you feel she booked this trip to Paris on purpose.
Yeah.
To show you the Eiffel Tower and to mess with your hard on.
Well, I mean, can I say, hold on, General.
All right.
I mean, she goes, let's go to the Eiffel Tower. And I mean, she said, let's go to Paris. And I get in the cab. The first thing I see is a cab pulls out of this airport that we're at. I think it's called
Orly. Was it Orly?
I don't know. But it goes by where the Eiffel Tower is on the way to the hotel. What we had in the Montmartre district, in the Opera district.
I don't know.
Okay. And I look and I see, and I'm going, what? Because all of a sudden you're thinking, yeah, I got it up. Thank God. You know, been a lot of hard times, man. Been a lot of tough times, and I finally climbed the mountain. And I got it up. What are you laughing?
No, but I mean, you're making it sound like you've discovered the cure to cancer or something.
Well, okay, man. I mean,
I'm not trying to put you down or anything, but
I'm just telling you, man, for me, I had climbed the mountain, and I'd gotten weary, and I'd sat down and looked, and I thought, am I ever going to get to the top of the mountain? And yes, I did, because that day on that plane, I finally got a hard on.
All right, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. God, we're waiting for you guys to acknowledge it.
Okay. Bud?
Yeah, that's great.
Your voice cracked. You just went, yeah.
I'm sorry.
All right, okay.
So, yeah, it was a tough, tough haul, and there were days I didn't think I was going to make it.
Hold on, because I just want to reflect on this. I want to feel it, you know.
I remember the days I didn't think I'd make it. I thought I was going to, ooh, I thought I just would not make it.
Did you feel like you were going to die? Or
no, I didn't think I was going to die, but I just felt for the rest of my life, I won't have, you know, my dick's going to be limp. So,
Steve, a question. Did you go to the doctor?
Yeah, I had him checked. He looked. He goes, there's nothing wrong with you.
And well, how did he look, man? Did he, like, measure it or something?
Well, don't worry about it answering that. What a stupid question.
I'm just wondering, man, how do they know it's not physical?
I mean, they do the prostate and everything like that. Okay, so enough of that. So you're in Paris. You got an erection.
Yeah, got the erection. I'd say about 20 minutes outside of Paris. The pilot said we're about to land, and I felt it getting hard. And I'm thinking, yeah, we'll be in the hotel here probably. And I didn't know. I don't know nothing about Paris or how long it takes you to get any place. But I figured an hour we'd have to be at the hotel. And the pilot's all, yeah, we're getting ready to land. And, you know, we go through customs pretty easy. And there's April. She's looking hot, you know.
Yeah.
And so we get in the cab, and I go, she goes, do you want to get lunch? I go, no, baby, I want to get right back to the hotel. Yeah. She sees that look in my eye, and she's got a smile on her face. And right as I turn to my right, I'm turning to my right because I want to scratch my left armpit. I mean, yeah, my left. So I turned to my right to raise my left arm to scratch the pit.
No, why did you turn to your right?
Why do I not think he's serious? Why are you asking that, bud?
Why did he turn to his right? What did you?
Because my wife was sitting on my left, and when I raised my arm, I didn't want her to smell, I don't know, what you thought you'd B.O.? After that plane ride, yes. I wanted to lift my left arm, and I'm scratching. But as I turn to the right, and I look out the window, this thing sticking straight up in the air, like, yeah.
Well, what does that mean, Steve?
I mean, it means basically you think you got an erection? Look at this. It's called the Eiffel Tower. You ever seen it? You ever heard of it? Well, of course. No, I know you have, but and I felt like that's what it was saying to me. I felt the Eiffel Tower was saying to me, yeah, shit. You think you got a hard on? Take a look at me. Okay? Send your wife my way. Come on, Steve. Well, I just felt that way. Hey, I gotta ask a question, Steve.
Okay.
Send your wife my way. So you immediately thought that the Eiffel Tower was sort of you anthropomorphized it.
Okay, you guys use these big words.
You gave it a human, you gave it a human intention. For all intents and purposes, it was almost human.
Well, I mean, you know, what are you supposed to think when you land at the Eiffel Tower?
Yeah.
Bud says don't move around too much, you're squeaking.
Yeah, I'm sorry, sir.
Okay. I mean, what are you supposed to think? You land at the Eiffel Tower and you see Paris. I mean, you land at Paris and you see the Eiffel Tower sticking straight up in the air, pretty as you please. And I just, that's my erection went away.
Your erection went away for the whole trip in Paris?
Yeah.
How long were you guys in Paris?
Well, we stayed about 10 days because I had to get back.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, you know.
Well, I mean, it's not like, you know.
Well, how are you now?
Right now, I'm well, I don't, Mr. Henry said don't say.
Yeah, just save it for the show.
Okay.
I mean, I got to assume you're okay.
Save it for the show. No, bud.
Well, I mean, Mr. Henry doesn't want me to say anything. I don't even know that I really want to talk about it.
Steve Bozell, who will be at our Galaxy of Phil Henry show. That's just one of many things Steve will be talking with us about, and I'm very happy that you're making the show, Steve.
Well, I'm honored that you asked me, and it feels good to kind of unburden myself and get it off my chest and everything like that.
Just a question about the bird. When the bird told you to go to hell, you turned around, you saw a cat.
I did see the cat, yeah.
Now, what happened there?
Well, cats, and that's the other thing about cats. And my daughter, April Jr., she's got a cat, which I got to shake my head every time I see this cat because it stares right through you. A cat will just stare a hole right through your skull. You know, Mr. Henry?
No, I don't.
You don't?
No.
It'll look at you and look at you and look at you and look at you yet again. And you'll just be like, what's the story, man? Finally, I ran out of there. I fled the place.
What, the Hutchins house?
Yeah.
As you were leaving with these plans and the minor bird had told you to go to hell.
And yeah, it was telling me, you know, you got a tiny dick, all this kind of shit.
So there's the start of it.
Well, I was already having a problem.
But the minor bird was telling you had a small...
You know what, Mr. Henry, I really got to get going.
Okay, I'm going to let you go. Oh, come on, Phil. No, I'm going to let him go. There's a lot more that we can talk to you about, Steve, when we see you on the 28th and the 1st. And I thank you very much for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Mr. Bozell.
It's Bozell, man.
Okay.
And for being on the Phil Henry Show, we have a Phil Henry Show shot glass for you, Steve.
Thank you, Mr. Henry. I appreciate it. I've already got like six of them, but
okay.
But no, I like them. I love them a lot.
This special Phil Henry Show. This is our original. This is our legacy shot glass, bro. This is a two shot glass.
I know. I don't think you don't make them no more, do you?
You can get the shot glass on our website. You can get the Phil Hendry Show shot glass, folks. But it's a one-shot shot glass. The original legacy shot glass. And I think I've got a box of them around here someplace. You know what we ought to do? Why don't you bring them to Theater West? We'll bring them to Theater West. See if anybody wants a two-shot shot glass. Anyway, Steve, thank you very much.
Well, can I have one? I just gave you one. Oh, okay.
Steve Bozell, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to come back, and we have, I know that's Jim Sadler.
Yeah, Dr. Jim Sadler.
And then we have a guy we haven't talked to in a while, Dr. Emory Clayton.
Yeah, Dr. Emory Clayton, he wonders, I don't know if he's, is he upset about it?
No, he's not upset, but.
I talked to Dr. Clayton, and he wondered if he's too radical. I
didn't know that he was available, but the show is full now. But let's talk to him anyway.
All right, so I got Steve, what'd you say?
We already talked to Steve Bozell.
I know that. We got
Dr. Jim Sadler, and we have Professor Emory Clayton.
Coming up on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. You know, we mentioned the legacy shot glasses from the world-famous Phil Hendry Show merch store. We don't have those anymore, but we do have shot glasses. We have the Phil Hendry Show shot glasses. We also have Phil Hendry Show coffee mugs. We also have Phil Hendry Show ball caps. We have all that kind of standard, cool Phil Hendry Show merch that you can get. You can get merch that's based on Steve Bozell, who we just talked to. Steve has the B&B Construction hoodie. It's awesome. We also have Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodies, the original hoodie, the Ted's of Beverly Hills chef's coat, which is really sweet. In fact, I was wearing that.
You wore that last year after you screwed your shoulder up and you were walking around the house.
Yeah, you're walking around the house with that and no underwear on.
Thanks for letting everybody know that, bud.
What are you doing, bud?
Well,
I put on the chef's coat and I didn't have anything else on because it's long enough, you know.
Almost, yeah.
Because you hang a little.
Shut up, bud, before I kick your ass.
Sorry.
So anyway, go to our website. Go to the merch store and get some merch from the world-famous Phil Hendry Show at philhendryshow.com, the greatest value online, or at least it was, other than porn. Sorry.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Phil is talking this evening with a few people, some of whom may be on stage with him on the 28th and the 1st at Theater West for The Galaxy of Phil Hendry.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we have Dr. Jim Sadler with us. We also have Professor Emory Clayton, who's... Come on and sit down, Professor.
How you do? Yeah, Jim Sadler. How do you do?
How you doing, Professor Clayton?
Well, I will tell you that it's been a while, Phil. A long while. And I'm grateful to be here. I'm thanking you for inviting me.
Well, we wanted to talk to people that we wanted to have on the show, but you don't want to come on the stage.
No, I'm not going to get up there, Phil. I appreciate...
Yes, hold on. What?
You were going to interview me.
All right, let me back off. No, sorry.
I was just asking him a few questions.
Yeah, I know, but I'm, you know, I'm sitting here. I might as well have my thumb up my ass. Hey, I didn't mean to.
It's okay, you didn't do anything. All right, I'm sorry, Dr. Sadler. Just want to say hi to him.
No, I understand that, but you said, hey, here's Dr. Jim Sadler. Oh, wait a minute. Dr. Sadler, see your thumb? Go ahead and sit on it while I don't think that was it, Dr. Sadler. Well, that's how it felt.
All right, I apologize.
You get to me when you're done with him.
Get to you, oh boy.
Don't take things so personally.
I tell you what, Phil, I'm going to go outside and take a leak or something.
We have a bathroom here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
So, Dr. Sadler, how are you?
I'm fine. I didn't mean to make a big thing out of it, but when I come in to do an interview, any show, and I've done a number of interviews on a number of different shows, and when I sit down, I say, and now here's Dr. Jim Sadler, and then someone says, oh, wait a minute. Here's a guy I haven't seen over here in 2 weeks. I bought some Girl Scout cookies from him. Hey, how you doing, Joe? You know, it feels, you know.
I don't think he was doing that, Dr. Sadler.
Well, it felt like it, okay? It felt like you were...
Blowing you off. I didn't mean to do that.
Well,
he didn't mean to blow you up, but he should not have introduced you and then said, yeah, let's talk to Dr. Clayton.
Yeah, that's how I felt.
All right, okay. Will you forgive me?
Yeah, it's not like we're going steady. God damn.
I'm sorry, okay?
All right.
Dr. Jim Sadler is with us. Dr. Sadler, are you going to be... No, you're not on the show.
No, I'm not on the show, and that's okay. I was asked, and I said I'd like to think about it, and Bud called me about... I said, let me have the weekend to think about it.
Okay.
And then he called me on a Friday. He said, Dana, forget it. We don't need you. So I don't know...
Well, did you want to come on the show?
No, I didn't want to. I was leaning away from it. But I was going to take the weekend and think about it. And so, you know, take 3 days. And so that was on Friday when Bud said, would you like to be on the show? And I said, well, yeah, let me think about it. I was going to kick back at home, have maybe a little Dewar's scotch, you know. But within 3 hours of asking me, do you want to be in the show, Dickman calls up and goes, you know how I asked you to be on a show?
Yeah.
I said, yeah. He goes, well, it's off. Click.
I didn't hang up on you. Did you really, bud?
It sounded like that to me. He goes, you want to be on the show? I go, yeah. He says, well, guess what? No, you can't. Click. And then...
I did not do that. I said, you want to be on the show? And you said, yeah. And I said, well, guess what? No, you can't.
What kind of a way is that to talk to people, bud?
Why would you say that?
Because I was just... I thought I would lighten the mood.
Well, it didn't lighten the mood. You made me feel like I was just some creep, you know, going door to door for canned goods or something. I mean, I don't need to be on the Phil Henry stage show as much as I like you, Phil, and it would have been, you know, but I was thinking about it.
You hadn't made up your mind if you want to be on the show at all anyway, right?
That's right. But when you say, hey, you know, yeah, because when someone says to you, would you like to be on a show, you're thinking, you think you've got some value. You think you've got some value for at least that.
For at least a few hours.
For at least a few hours.
Are you not crying, are you?
No.
Because you'd be the second guy tonight.
Well, I
apologize, but, you know, I'm thinking about it.
I'm thinking about it. But for a few hours, you're thinking you've got some value. And then he calls back within 3 hours. He said, I said, I'll take the weekend. He says, you take the weekend. You relax.
I know, but I did.
Shut up, bud, and let him talk.
Okay.
And then he calls up. He says, yeah, is this Dr. Sadler? And I go, like, you didn't know it was. He goes, yeah, ha, ha, ha. You know how I asked you to be on the Phil Henry show? And I go, yeah. He says, well, it's off. Click.
I didn't just hang up. I know I must have said, well, it's off. Goodbye.
Well, okay, you might have said goodbye.
But that's no way to talk to anybody.
Well,
you're going to call a guy up and say, Dr. Sadler, I miss, you know, the schedule was not what I thought it was. I got things confused. We can't have you on the show this time, but we would like to reschedule you for another time.
Well, oh, yeah, sure. So if I do that, and then you're going to get mad at me on account of I did that, because, you know, you may not have a show to be scheduled.
Well, that is a good point.
What did he just say?
He's just saying he doesn't want to make plans that may not be right with you.
Well, you guys are talking to each other, and once again, you're talking over the top of my head.
No, but just seeing how that might have been avoided, but that was a very rude thing for you to do.
I'm sure I said, I know I said to him, you want to be on the show? And he goes, yeah. And I go, well, guess what? It's off. I know I must have said goodbye.
No, you did not say goodbye. Oh,
but why would you put it that way? You said, here's the way to put it.
Okay.
Hi, Dr. Sadler. I'm sorry. We can't have you on the show.
You already said, and we'll reschedule it.
Yeah. It's put it in a way that's respectful, and the guy is going to say,
put it in a way, bud, where the guy's going to not feel like Dr. Sandler said, like he's just some creep going door to door.
What?
Never mind, man. Just understand. So,
all right. So we've spent a lot of time talking about how you made me feel like some creep. He's laughing.
I know. He does that.
I'm sorry.
He's laughing. I come out here. Sorry, Dr. Sandler. No, it's okay. Do you hear that Johnny Rotten died?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, you posted, hey, Johnny Rotten's dead, and then everybody said, yeah, well, he's kind of a creep. And then you said, oh, okay, I guess he's a creep. So you know, the reason why I bring that up, Mr. Henry, is I don't know whether you know, I think you just blow whichever way the wind's blowing.
Yeah, bingo.
No, I don't.
Bingo.
Well, you sort of did there, Phil.
Bingo.
All right, bud, I got it.
Yeah, because you said, hey, happy birthday, Johnny Rotten, and then some people said, you know, Johnny Rotten's a real creep. And you go, well, I didn't know you were a creep, Johnny Rotten. But still, happy birthday.
What's that got to do with anything, man?
It has to do with the fact that I'm, you know, I was going to come on the show, and you were excited about it, and then Dickman asked me.
Yes, and I asked him to ask you.
Right. And for about maybe 2 hours, I was gold. For about 2 hours, I was the hottest thing, one of the hottest things in this town.
Dr. Sadler, I think you give me far more influence.
No, but you know. For 2 hours, I was one of the hottest things in this town. And then this guy calls up and says, yeah, you remember that show that we wanted you to be on? I go, yeah. And I'm like a puppy dog panting, yeah. You know, waiting to be petted. And I have my stomach scratched and everything like that.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, it's off. Click. And you said it just like that.
I said it's off. Goodbye.
That's just as rude.
All right, sorry.
And my world...
Well, Dr. Sadler, we'll have you back on the show. The next live show we do, I would like to have you on.
Well, when is that? Where's that?
I don't know when. I don't know where, but we'll have you on. I promise.
That's like saying, sorry you missed the dinner, Dr. Sandler, but here's someone's chili size they didn't finish.
I don't think so.
He's laughing. So you can't laugh.
All right, but I don't think that's what we did. Nonetheless, I'm happy that you're here tonight to talk with us.
We're running out of time now. We're almost out of time.
Yeah, see?
Well, don't no see anything because I don't want to argue. I want to say that it's great to see you, and we did want to have you on the show.
Yeah, that's I already get that.
Okay.
So what do you want to talk about?
I guess I wanted to talk about how it was that we wanted to have you on the show, but now we can't.
Yeah, I told you. Will you come on the show and we can talk about how we don't want you on the show?
Yeah, and I said yes to that too. You know, again, Mr. Henry, it's like you said, sorry you missed the dinner, Jim, but here's some potatoes an old lady was eating. I'm sorry there's some slobber on it. Here, have that.
Oh, my ass.
That's how it feels.
Dr. Sandler, we will have you on very soon. The Phil Henry Show, his live stage show.
Well, I'd be very open to that.
Well, then we'll see. We'll make it happen.
Yes. Thank you very much, Dr. Sadler.
Okay.
Well, sir, that's why we wanted to talk to you. Look, your glasses are broken. God damn it, bud.
I didn't do it.
Anyway, thank you, Dr. Sadler, for being with us. Dr. Jim Sadler, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Oh, give it a rest.
Professor Emery Clayton's with us here. Professor...
I'll see you later, Dr. Sadler.
Yeah. Great seeing you, Emery.
Yes.
I think he's a great guy. He has overcome an awful lot.
He has.
He's set up his own practice there in San Diego. And he has, he was a veterinarian. Then he took psychology.
He's been all over the road.
He has. And then he finally settled on being a GP. And also did some teaching, as I mentioned, over here at LA Canyon, which is where I was at.
Professor Clayton, long time no see. What have you been up to?
Well, I just want to finish my thought on Jim, and I'll let you know.
Okay.
But Dr. Sadler, when you listen to him, he doesn't sound like a normal human being.
Well, we don't want to criticize.
Well, I'm not trying to criticize, but I'm saying look how far that man's come when he sounds like he had half his tongue eaten off or something like that.
He had half his tongue bit off in a cheetah training accident.
Yeah. He was in the circus at one time.
In the circus. So this is a man that was in the circus, got half his tongue bit off, goes into veterinary medicine. I would tell you, I would be very resentful. How would you want to work with animals after one of them?
Well, he was trying to French kiss it.
Well, all right. Be that as it may, you might be trying to French kiss a cheetah, and it might be the dumbest thing any man has ever tried in his life. But still, that thing bit your tongue off, and you still want to be a veterinarian? I don't know. Then he went from that to becoming a psychiatrist, psychologist. And again, how do you sit and talk to a man who's essentially not forming words so much as he's slobbering them out? You know?
Yeah.
Dr.
Sadler's here. Oh, hey, Jim.
What is this about? I get out to my car, I turn, I'm listening to you talking about how I slobber?
No, I'm saying you've come a long way with the fact that you lost your tongue in that cheetah training accident, the fact that you become a veterinarian and become a very good one, and all the while, you're not so much talking as you're gargling spit. You know what I mean?
No, I don't know what you mean. I find that very offensive. I try to do the very best that I can with what I got, you know?
No, I agree with you. I'm admiring you. You got to understand.
I think in his own way, Professor Clayton is saying, yeah, you're doing a good thing.
Well, you know, I get halfway out to the car and I'm hearing a guy going, yeah, these slobbers left and right, you know. You know, I still lift.
All right, I'm not trying to get into your face here or anything. But, and that's the other thing. You lift weights. You've got a great sculpted body. You lay out on your front lawn oiled up. And the women do come by, right?
Well, you know, I'm married to Mindy Mandy. And
no, you call her Mindy Mandy now.
Wait. Am I the interview?
Yeah. Okay. See you later.
Okay. God damn.
All right. Well, look, what's the story here?
Well, I came in to say thanks a lot for nothing, saying that all I do is slobber my way through life.
Look at Dr. Sandler. We love you.
We'll have you on the show.
Yeah, sure.
Get a load of him. He is a great man. He really is.
Where do you know him from?
I know him from LA Canyon when he started teaching there. And we've had great conversations and shared a dinner. His wife, Mindy Mandy, and my wife.
Now, what is with the Mindy Mandy?
They never did figure out. He can't figure out what her name was, so he calls her Mandy Mindy or something like that. And then we had, you know, the whole thing with Coach Dozier. No, I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, Coach Dozier calls his wife Mandy Mindy.
Man, you got, I'll tell you what, Phil, you really need to do this. You have got to stop hanging around with these weird asses, I'm telling you.
I tell him that all the time, Professor.
Well, you do. You've got some weird ass people.
All right.
True. There's no question. But I think that's what makes the world go round. Oh, sure. That's a very, very, that's an extremely convenient thing to say. We all love to say that.
Well,
no, hold on, hold on. We all love to say, I hang out with a weird ass because the world, that's what makes the world go round, you see. I hang out with some guy that can suck his own toes because, hey, that's what makes the world go round. I have to tell you, Phil, I think it takes a special person like yourself to go through life spending much of your day with some real weird-ass people. And I got to just, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you a round. Bud, will you help me with this?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Phil Henry, one of a kind.
Thank you very, very much.
Professor Clayton, are you still teaching at LA Canyon?
I am still teaching over there, yes. Teaching some urban studies, teaching American history. We also have a class in California history. And I eventually want to retire, you know, because I've about had it.
Well, I know that you are a, you know, you're one of a kind. You're kind of a, you kind of run a very tight lecture hall there.
Well, I do. I do.
You remember the times you're going to throw a guy out of a window and stuff?
Say that again?
What about the times you're going to throw a guy out of a window?
About the times?
You there were some times you were going to pick a student up and, oh, yeah. No, nothing's changed there. Nothing's changed there.
Nothing.
Have you thrown someone out of a window? Have I thrown someone? All I have to do is say, hey, you see that window? Now, we're four floors up. Where the Southby Lecture Hall is on the fourth floor, and that's what I use. Generally, when we have a mixed lecture series there, I have the students there. I share that with Professor Buchheiner.
Okay.
I don't...
You don't know who...
You never heard of him?
No.
Wow. He's one of the biggest of the big.
What does he do?
He's a teacher at...
No. I mean, but what... Professor Buchheiner.
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 Yes. Professor Buchheiner specializes in facial augmentation recognition.
What is that?
Well, what that is you can anticipate what someone's going to say by looking at their face. So you look at a guy's face, and he's like, yeah. You know, he's just kind of staring. You can anticipate, using Professor Buchheiner's method, what that guy's about to say.
Based on what?
Based on the facial recognition. Is he tense? Is he emotional? Is he thinking? Is he scratching? Like right now, you see me scratching both my cheeks?
Yeah.
That means I'm about to say something. Now, what am I going to say?
I don't know. How could you figure that out?
Well, Dr. Buchheiner, he teaches that. If you see a guy, like, listen to you, then he lifts a finger to his eye and starts scratching his eye, and then looks back at you, that right away tells you something.
So the man is listening to you thoughtfully, looks away, and then looks right back at you.
Yeah. What would you say, Ms. Gray, that man's going
to
say?
I don't know. I guess he would say something like, you know, I got to thinking about what you said.
I got to thinking about what you said, and I think you're full of crap. Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Well, I think it's a good guess. And if you use Professor Buchheiner's technique, you can anticipate if someone's going to say to you, you're so full of crap, your eyes are brown. And you may be able to steer the conversation in a direction that's more favorable to you, you see. But if you don't know what the guy's going to say, and you go, what do you think of that? He says, I think you're so full of crap, your eyes just turned a rich, deep, dark brown, you know.
Yeah.
Then you know that guy is, see what I'm saying?
You can anticipate that he thinks you're full of crap.
Yeah.
See, because the eyes are brown.
Well, who knows if the guy's eyes are brown, but the point that I'm trying to say is.
You just said who knows if the guy's eyes is, you I don't know.
Hey, man,
okay, bud, knock it off.
So that's what Buchheiner does. I don't want to, this is about me, Dr. Emery Clayton. I don't need to talk to him.
All right, so we're getting back to the students. Have you thrown any students out the window?
No, I have not thrown any students out a window, but I have threatened because I can say I had a student one year, and I said, Mr. Casper,
are you listening to me? And he said, oh, yeah, yeah, man, that kind of deal. And I said, and I walked over to the window, I opened it up. See this? I said, come on over, take a look at the view. How do you like the view? He said, it's very beautiful. I said, you bet it is. It's four floors up, and I can give you the best view in the house. I can have you airborne in 3 seconds. And he just turned and walked back to his seat.
So he knew what you were saying.
Yeah, there you go. Because I will not stand for that mess.
Well, what are they doing? Are they talking out of turn?
No, no, no. It's nothing like juvenile like that. It's a stupid question. We were covering General Sherman in California when he was the commandant there at the fort in Monterey. And that he had, and then had gone up to Yerba Buena, which was San Francisco's original name. And then he would go from there to Sacramento. He went to gold mining area and made quite a bit of money. So I get this question from this man who says, don't you feel that was usurious of him to take advantage of those miners to make all that money, get rich, while he was in the Army? And I looked at him and I said, that's the dumbest question I ever heard.
Why is that dumb?
What are you kidding? He's got money to make, and this guy's saying he ought to feel guilty about making money.
But Sherman was in the Army.
Yes, he was in the Army. Who cares? There were all these suckers.
Sounds like you got pissed.
I did get pissed. And I saw a guy said to Castro, said, all these suckers are there trying to make money on gold mining. Why wouldn't General Sherman? He said, but he was in the Army. I said, it was not against regulations in the Army in those days to go into business for yourself while you were in the Army. I said, get up for a minute.
This is what you threatened to do?
Yeah, I said, just get up. He got up. I said, see the window? How's that view? He said, nice. I said, I can have you airborne on your way down to that asphalt parking lot within seconds. He just turned around and went back to his seat.
I think that's very rash of you. I thought it was a good question.
Oh, man. All right. Look, we've taken up enough of your time.
Get a load of this.
Well, I do, Professor Clayton. I think it's very rash.
The guy was asking me a dumb question. Man, I don't like dumb questions.
They really bug you.
They bug me. I had a guy ask me one time. He said, can you tell me where the post office is? And there was a mailbox right in front of us.
Oh, man.
Well, so?
So what? Why does he ask me where the post office is when there's a mailbox right in front of him?
Maybe he had something to weigh.
He's holding an envelope. But you don't know. He's holding an envelope. He says, hey, he's waving this in my face like he wants me to swat it out of his hand. He says, can you tell me where the post office is? I said, there's a mailbox right here. And he just went, oh, baby.
So you were going to pick that guy?
I wanted to, but...
All right,
you know what? I got to go. I got to... Well,
Professor Clayton...
No, it's okay. It's just... This is starting to... It's too many memories.
I'll walk you out, sir.
Yeah.
Professor Emery Clayton on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with some very bad memories of people asking dumb questions while he was a teacher.
That was weird.
Well, anyway, we do thank, of course, Dr. Jim Sadler, and we thank Steve Bozell.
Steve Bozell and Dr. Jim Sadler. And Steve Bozell will be on stage with us at Theater West on the 28th and the 1st for The Galaxy of Phil Hendry.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show, executive produced by Phil Hendry for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast One. I'm General Galen Shaw.
Yeah.
I thought you went out and talked to him.
Yeah, I did. He just said he told me to get lost. He's walking home.
What do you mean he's walking home?
He's walking. He's going to walk in an Uber. He just wanted to walk it off.
What's so funny?
Professor Clayton.
I'm just going to get an Uber. What's so funny?
The fact that you... Never mind.